Live to see it, friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, I am great. I hope you and yours had a super fantastic Christmas, and we did at our house, and so
we did indeed. Here we are in the week between the holidays and cranking out shows, huh? I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah,
with us.
Right. You know. Well, yeah. Now we are on sort of a slightly reduced holiday schedule, like we were last week. Two shows last week and two shows again this week, right?
That's right. You know, this reduced holiday schedule, though, that's as much content in a week as we used to produce every week. So, I mean,
that's right.
An hour's worth of material. So I feel like, you know,
yeah,
that's our gift to you, the listener, you know. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, and we'll be back on three times a week, I would assume, in the first week of the new year. So that'll be awesome.
Or twice in that week and three times in the second. But we'll see how that rolls out. Anyway, the shows keep coming. That's the important thing. That's my first prediction for 2017. Okay, unofficial. we're gonna keep cranking out shows.
Yeah, that is our show for today is our predictions for 2017. So more shows is the first one. So.
That's right, unofficial. But I predict we're gonna do a lot more shows. And you know what? We've got so much ground to cover in 2017. We should just jump right into it. But I will say, let me preface this by saying, tonight we're going to do predictions for 2017, and then on Thursday we're going to talk about predictions for 2027. So we thought we'd see how much change can we anticipate will occur in the coming year, and then how much can we anticipate will occur in the coming decade. That's kind of the game we're playing over the next couple of shows. So let's jump into it, Stephen. What do you think? What big surprising thing do you predict we'll see in 2017?
Well, I think the first thing that I'm going to throw out here is that we are going to start seeing routine news of the individuals seriously treating aging as a disease. And I'm not talking about, just going on an exercise regimen or taking more vitamins, things like, you know, normal stuff. I'm talking about, seriously attacking aging as a disease. Now we got news of a CEO, and what is her name, Phil? Began doing this. It was Elizabeth Parrish.
Thank
She's
you.
She's the CEO of BioViva or
BioViva.
BioViva. That's it. And she began treating. She was noticing some biomarkers that showed that she might be aging faster than she, you know, than normal or whatever. And she says, you know what? I'm the head of a biotech company. I'm going to start, you know, using some of the things that we're learning for myself. And, so she's experimenting just a little bit on herself. But I think in 2017, she's going to be joined by others. And we're going to start hearing about it on a fairly regular basis.
I think that's a good prediction. You know, she's not the only one. We heard about Peter Thiel and his transfusions that he's receiving on a regular basis of youthful blood, and there have been a few more of these. And I think we want to distinguish here between routine news, and it still won't be routine that people do it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It'll become a regular occurring news item to the point where maybe. Just to punctuate this prediction, maybe by the end of 2017, it will be familiar enough that it doesn't get much coverage that people are doing that. That will be used to it. It'll only become news when someone's doing something really unusual. You know, kind of like Peter Thiel was pretty unusual. You know, taking those blood transfusions. But I think we'll see enough of this idea that it'll start to sink in. That you know.
Well, Well, do you think that there will be a tendency for there to be a backlash against some of this? Because, I mean, it's just an example of behavior that people will attribute to the 1% and will say, you know what, here they are being privileged again. You know, what do you think? Will there be a backlash against?
Very likely will be. I think there very likely will be. Or there at least it will always be framed in that. You know, someone raising grave concerns or, you know, raising questions as to whether the 1% will benefit from this at the expense. You know, whether there's an actual backlash, we'll never get to hear about it without that piece of it. that's always going to be part of the discussion.
And at the same time, and here's the thing. It's always going to be rich people that do this sort of thing first. And they will be the ones that are basically being guinea pigs for the rest of us to some extent, because this early treatment is going to be, to some extent, a little more dangerous, to some extent, certainly less effective than, the second generation, third generation of these treatments. And so, you know, my thought, let them push the boundaries. Let them go out on the frontier and find out what the rest of us need to know for future generations of this technology. So
that's right. I think it's as predictable that people will raise this, you know, grave potential downside as that we will come back and say what you just said.
we'll keep
saying that all year. We're going to be chiming in with that every single time.
1%, but you know what? The 1% is helping. They're going to end up helping the rest of us. So everybody settle down. That'll be our response. So
Exactly right. Okay. Yeah. How about another one? Here's a prediction for 2017. Speaking of backlashes, right? I think we're going to see more visible accidents. They're going to get more coverage with self-driving cars, and that's going to start that same kind of backlash that you just mentioned about aging treatments. But I think this will be a little bit more pronounced, and it won't just be something mentioned in addition, that's going to be the headline, right? The headline is going to be, oh no, we're filling our streets with these self-driving cars. We haven't thought it through. They haven't been properly vetted. This is dangerous, and this is terrible. I think there's going to be a lot of very negative coverage of self-driving cars in 2017. What do you think?
I absolutely. Now, here's the interesting thing, Phil. There was a news item that came out this month. I don't know if it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, but it was definitely in December. Regarding some of these Uber cars and them not knowing how to handle a bicycle lane at an intersection.
I saw that. Yep. Yep.
You know, so you approach, and here's the thing. Not a lot of bicycle lanes in my hometown. Okay. And so this was kind of news to me. In the process of telling me how self-driving cars don't know the rules of the road, I, a personal injury attorney, was taught some rules of the road. Anyway, as you approach the intersection of a bicycle lane, if you want to make a right turn, you need to put your blinker on, check, and make sure there's no bicycles that are coming up, you know, and clear the lane, and then move over, merging into the bicycle lane, and then making your right turn from the bicycle lane. That way, you're not making a right turn and striking a bicyclist that intends to go straight.
Right. Right.
So, apparently the coding for the Uber cars that were self-driving lacked that, here's my response to that. Well, add to the code, and then from now on, self-driving cars, every one of them will know this, whereas people still have to be taught this, you know.
My cynical read, because I saw that headline, it was like, self-driving cars, don't look for bicyclers in the bicycle lane or cross, turn across bicycle lanes. I was like, oh, wow, headline, self-driving cars drive exactly the way humans do in bicycle lanes. Because, you know, if you've ever been on a bike, you know exactly how cars are. I mean, this is the thing that's everybody's faced. I mean, if the big danger is that, it's really not a big story at all. And you're right. The thing is, they can fix self-driving Uber cars with a couple lines of code. How are you going to fix the human behavior, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's the reason, ultimately, self-driving cars is going to be the way it goes for all of us, is that if there's a problem with self-driving cars, you can fix all of them quickly. If there's a problem with human drivers, then you've just got a problem. And,
and we do. If you check the stats, I wonder how many people who get injured on bicycles or killed on bicycles every year, what percentage of them are people who are in the bike lane who got hit by a car that crossed into the bike lane? You know, it is a non-trivial percentage of the people, I guarantee you.
Right. If you ride a bike in a bike lane and you haven't been hit by a car, then you've almost been hit by a car if you do
that's
it
right.
regularly.
To the point, let me tell you, I ride a bicycle. I love bicycling. I will not go on streets with bike lanes for exactly that reason. You know, I will only go on trails, and I stay out of bike lanes because they don't see you, and they'll kill you. You know, I mean, it's really dangerous.
You want to live to see it, and one of the ways that you're doing that is you're not using these bike lanes. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's like I see people on there, and I'm like, careful, be careful. They're not looking for you, you know. But
here's another, you know, a prediction for the far future. Maybe I should save this for the next show. But, you know, more of us will use the bike lanes when there's more self-driving cars. You know, they know how to handle the bike.
That's right. They will become safer. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of winds back to our first point, too, is that all of these backlashes are going to be pointing out, ultimately, they're like the flip side of things getting better. People pointing out these dangers or these risks. What we're actually seeing is people reflecting on stuff being improved immensely.
Right. Right.
Okay. What's next?
Okay. 2017. I'm calling it the year of the battery. And why is that? Well, batteries can improve in so many different ways, Phil. And I keep getting news from multiple sources that of all the different ways that battery research is progressing. You know, batteries that charge over the air, in other words, like charge from radio waves or whatever, that charge faster. There's even a product now that you can buy. It's a potted plant that you can plug your cell phone into and charge your cell phone on. You can charge your cell phone a couple of times a day. Off of this
from a plant?
From a plant. And it's the process of the photosynthesis, it's collecting somehow enough electricity to fill this little battery within the plant, within the pot of the plant, and then you plug it in like a USB port right there, boom.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so imagine a whole forest like that, ultimately. In the short run, we'll see more things like that. That'll be fun. Also, batteries that are lighter. That'll be great for cars, right? If you could have the weight of the battery packs, then imagine how that translates into the distance that these can drive before you have to recharge. Also just lasting longer and being able to provide more power. So, we will see a lot of development in batteries in 2017.
I think that is a good prediction. I think that's a very safe prediction to make. And if we were going to predict for 2018 and 2019, I think you could repeat, right? That the year of the battery, every year is going to be the year of the battery for a while.
It could be. It could be that, 2018, 2019, we thought we had it good in 2017. And here all this great stuff happens. So
battery
right.
technology will keep improving, which is great for us in our personal devices. For computers and phones and those kinds of things. It becomes more important for bigger items that are sometimes run on batteries, lawnmowers and, bigger items like that. But where we're really going to see a corner being turned, where we're really going to see society being reshaped by this improvement in batteries is, one, on a very large scale, with biggest batteries, we're going to see this as an enabling technology for solar, as a viable means of powering the grid. And I think the other one, a little bit smaller scale but closer to home, but it's kind of the next prediction, is that we're going to see electric cars continue to grow as a percentage of the overall transportation market. Right.
Right.
2017, this is gonna hit in a big way, and we're gonna really see this happening. This is, you know, I think in part because of our ability to extend the range of cars with better batteries, but also just because, you know, we're seeing better and better electric cars, and we're seeing better and better options around recharging them, and people are getting used to the idea as well. That's all kind of working together, isn't it?
Yeah. I saw for the first time at a local grocery store, Phil, I saw a couple of parking spaces that were reserved for people to plug into the and charge their electric cars. You know, one of the two spots was actually being used when I saw them. And I was going, wow, that's neat. And I thought, you know, my thought is that I wonder how often these things getting used. Well, hey, there's one being used. One of the two is being used right now.
Right. So, right. And those are good premium parking spots, aren't they? Or are they? I know in the case of the Whole Foods by our house, it's like, oh no, they've turned those good parking spots into charging stations.
It was first handicapped parking spots, and then the couple of electric parking spots and normal parking spots.
Yeah. So they're creating incentives. So, subtle way for people to drive electric cars, but they're also doing it because they know that they've got a certain share of their customers who, that's a reason for them to come to that store, right? They can.
And keep in mind, this is a huge parking lot. It's new Whole Foods, okay?
Yeah.
It's a huge parking lot, and you know, a sum total of two of their parking spaces was reserved for that. But
right.
Still, that was the first time I'd ever seen that here in. You know, right here in good old Shreveport, and so I was. I said, "Hey, that's a sign. I like that. And the fact that one was being used was. I thought that was pretty cool. So
it's interesting you mentioned that. That's where I've seen it too, is at Whole Foods. So that must be a standard Whole Foods thing, right? When they
You know, it must be part of their corporate culture to encourage that and to make it a premium parking space. So yeah, that's where I saw it. All right. Moving on, I guess, to our next prediction for 2017 is we're going to see more countries pushing into space. And I want to say specifically Japan. Japan has as its goal to set up a robotic moon base. You know, a moon base built by robots for robots. You know, no people. But they'd like to have that done as soon as 2020. And so I really think that 2017 we're going to begin to hear more and more news about Japan gearing up for that push and perhaps even doing some things towards that in 2017. So them in particular, I would expect to hear some news out of, but, you know, obviously other countries and even private companies as well are going to continue to push forward.
I think that's a safe prediction, and I would just add, you know, not just Japan. I think we're going to see announcements either from other countries or from the private sector, but we'll see big space news in 2017 in the same way that we have in 2016 with Elon Musk and his Mars announcement. We're going to see. I like that you got very specific with Japan on your prediction. My own version of this prediction, as we were talking about before the show, was just a more general one that we're going to see big stuff in space. So I would say Japan and others. That would be my one addition to that. And I think you're absolutely right on that one. How about this? 2017, we're going to see a big move forward in virtual reality. Okay. I think the market is taking off both for the devices and the software, and we're going to see widespread adoption of that. We're going to see an improved understanding of what these devices are capable of delivering, what this technology is really going to be able to bring to people. And also maybe the flip side of that is a better understanding of what they can't do. Right, that virtual reality is really good for this. Maybe You know, it enhances this kind of entertainment experience. It's good for this kind of educational experience, but an understanding that it's not always going to be good for everything all the time. It's kind of virtual reality grows up 2017.
Well, I think so. Let me give you kind of a proof of concept in the experience of my kids. Okay. They have, every chance that they get, they will have, you know, experienced virtual reality, you know, with, you know, they have a friend that has an Oculus Rift, and they, you know, just they have experienced it as much as possible. So I've just asked them, so what's it like, you know, well, I mean, does this mean that the next Arkham game, you know, you get to be Batman and stuff like that? And they said, well, it's funny you say that. This they do have a virtual reality Arkham experience type Batman. But here's the thing about it. You don't move around as much in the virtual reality of Batman as you do in the actual video game. I said, well, why not? Why aren't you flying around, you know, with the cape and, you know, and beating up bad guys the same way? And they said, well, you're beating up bad guys, but often you're in one particular place and you don't move around a lot because when you move – and you know, and you jump, and you fly, and you move through space, and your body is not feeling the movement, you know, because you are not moving, but you're seeing it. That is what leads to I don't know, motion sickness or whatever, and it gets bad enough that the coders are designing games around. Okay, here you are at this one place, and do this one thing, kind of thing. And now, fade out and fade back in. You're at another place. They're having to alter the way they do things right now because of those limitations. So,
well, and I wonder if it's not just motion sickness. You know, as soon as you make something real, the thing is, within a standard video game, motion is, you know, cheap, right? It doesn't incur the same cost that motion does in real life. I think motion sickness is one example of that, but just time and, you know, the sensations and how much you can take in visually and all these kinds of things that are different when a flat screen, when you're quote unquote moving on a flat screen versus when you're actually in an environment and moving there. And this is, you know, this is kind of an unexpected result of what, you know, paying the price for moving, right? That you're experiencing something closer to real motion and it's different, right?
Right. And I'm hopeful that you know, there are technical workarounds that don't keep us from being able to use virtual reality. Those of us who are susceptible to motion sickness, you know, I think it's something that you know, an understanding what the limitations are to virtual reality, I think, is important. So you know, I call that a backlash if you like, but that's just you know, as we adopt things, we learn what we can do with them, what we can't. And so I think that's part of what we'll see in 2017.
I think that's right.
Yeah, and next one, Phil, is Mark Zuckerberg and his project with his wife, Dr. Priscilla Chan. Their effort to attack all diseases is going to get some good news from some front. That's my prediction. So somewhere there's going to be some news showing that this is not silly, that this is a for real avenue for attacking disease, and the result of that will be an increase in charitable giving to the effort, not just by Mark Zuckerberg, but maybe some other billionaires and maybe some other regular people will start throwing in on this. Who knows, maybe there'll be a government grant as well, but I think there'll be some good news that's a viable way to attack disease, his idea. So
I'm
looking for that.
That's a great prediction. I hope that's true. We might see results from that later, maybe in 2017. Maybe that's a good 2018 prediction. But definitely, whether we see it from this project, and I hope we do, or not, we're going to continue to see in 2017 big breakthroughs with stem cell treatment, the way we've been talking about all through 2016, and I think it seems like it really kind of ramped up there towards the end of the year. But we're going to see more and more interesting use cases for stem cell treatments around heart disease, cancer, diabetes. We're going to see new treatments for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, other neurodegenerative diseases. All of this, I think, making the case for what Zuckerberg is doing, as well as making the case for treating aging. Right, I think that both of those things are going to be getting a big boost, and I think that's very exciting. If momentum in those fields does give a big push to what Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are working on.
Well, I thought it was interesting, Phil, that Trump has had all these people come in, for purposes of vetting them for various cabinet positions and everything. And there was a dinner meeting, was between Trump and another billionaire, mm-hmm. Patrick Soon-Shiong. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Who is another biotech billionaire who is a doctor, who is known for pushing for an all encompassing attack on disease, the same way that Mark Zuckerberg is talking about. And so he reportedly visited with Trump about the future of medicine in their dinner meal. So in their dinner meeting. So I think that's got to be encouraging. I'm encouraged by that. That's good.
You know what? Donald Trump, the president-elect, is not getting any younger. Awful lot of press made about the fact, and it was notable, the fact that you had two candidates really, in their 70s running for president, which was, that was kind of a cool thing about 2016, if you want to look for some upsides to that presidential election. But it raises the issue of, how long can people be viable? How long can they keep going? How much energy does it take? I think that President-elect Trump is going to have reasons for being interested in these kinds of things that are only enhanced and pronounced by the fact that he's a little bit older. So, if that adds to his interest in this, that's great. Hope to see that happen. Okay, we've just got time for maybe two more if we go really fast. So I'm going to give my wacky Tales of the Paranormal one. Go out a limb here, and I'm going to say, I think we're going to see a new and completely unanticipated set of evidence for possible extraterrestrial civilizations. And I don't mean, new UFO sightings or something like that. I mean something new along the lines of what we saw year before last with the discovery of the strange dimming of Tabby's star and, the theory that may have something to do with alien structures, alien megastructures. I think we're going to see something completely new in that regard coming up in 2017. And, I'll hedge that by saying that, like some of the others we've talked about, might be a good prediction for 2018, 2019, somewhere in that range. But I'm sticking it down and saying somewhere in 2017. I'm not saying it's aliens, but new news about aliens. That's my prediction.
I won't argue with that. You over that, Phil, because it's the news has been pretty exciting over the last year and a half since the Tabby Star announcement, right? And the fact that they haven't come back and said, "Oh, we found this reason," and here's what it is: it's a bunch of interstellar dust or something like that. It's they've not come up with anything like that. So the fact that they haven't, and that alien civilization remains in the running as an explanation, that's something. And I'm with you on that. Well,
all right.
I got one that's kind of weird too. Well, I don't know. My tongue is just a little bit in my cheek when I say we're going to need in 2017, a regular, so what's Musk up to, segment to the show? because, seriously, over 2016, how many weeks have gone by that we haven't mentioned him or, talked about this project or that project that he's working on? I'm not saying that this is going to become an all Musk show, but still, there's a lot to talk about where, he dreams big and then he performs big. So he's fun to watch.
I agree. We did several shows in 2016 about billionaires and their big plans in general, but the guy we keep coming back to is Elon Musk, right? So if there is one human on this earth who is likely to have an ongoing World Transform feature dedicated to him. It's Elon Musk. I agree. I think he's the guy who's likely to get that kind of attention from us. And all I can say is I look forward to whatever it is he's going to be doing and to the news that that he's going to make. And you know what? With that, Stephen, that is our predictions for 2017. We're going to come back on Thursday, and we're going to make predictions a few more years out. We're going to look at what the world might look like in 2027. So we look forward to being with you all then. Thanks, Stephen, for putting together a great list of predictions. And until next time, live to see it.